Till summer, he's lying through his teeth. Summer is here already. I have it on good authority. He might look back a little bit, our cold friend, but certainly as far as load shedding is concerned, Eskom is telling us that if the cold weather persists, I suppose cold weather in parts of the country where it gets cold, we may be looking at stage 7 load shedding. But that's not really the biggest of our issues right now on the North Coast. The biggest of our issues on the North Coast is that one of our civil servants that has, would appear, the interests of the community at heart by keeping a watch on the purse strings, Mr. Raj Kumar, is the chief financial officer of the municipality, as far as I'm aware. He is up on disciplinary charges because it's a long saga, but effectively he has been found by the respondents in the matter that is about to become to court. He's been found potentially in breach of his civic duty to maintain the purse strings accurately and wisely because he incurred some financial costs through the operation of two bank accounts, KDM bank accounts, and moving tranches of money from one to the other, incurred a sum of around 60,000 rand over a good few years, which they believe was fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and on that basis they've managed to get him on a disciplinary hearing to determine whether he's fit to remain in office. That's my understanding of these things. However, there are two guests of mine in the studio that have a much better understanding of matters civic, and to that end I welcome to the studio investigative journalist Penny Faree and Warwick Chapman, who is no stranger to matters municipal and certainly no stranger to the studio. Welcome both of you, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks,
Dad. I alluded at the beginning of the show to anyone that has an interest in what happens in this community that you needed to stay close to your radio, and this is why. Penny, would you like to set the scene?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Hi, Warwick. So for those of you who are not, you know, up to date with the case, the CFO was put on suspension in July, and in the last few weeks we filed an urgent application together under the Radio Life and Style banner, and as myself as a journalist and the two civic organizations, Kwadukuza Residents Forum and the Lembe Civic Action Movement, ICAM, and we filed an application to be allowed to attend the public hearing, the disciplinary hearing of the suspended CFO, Mr. Raj Kumar. And we argued the case that it was a public interest case, seeing as he was a public servant and there are allegations of financial misconduct, and that obviously pertains to the public funds. And there was a back and forth. We attended a hearing where the two senior counsels from each side presented their arguments of why we should be allowed access to the hearing, and KDM opposed the access application, and their reasons were that the witnesses could possibly be targgeted, and their safety was a matter of concern for those witnesses called up against to testify against Mr. Raj Kumar. And the other head of argument that they presented was whether the chairman, the presiding chairman, he's a senior advocate who was appointed by KDM, if he had the authority to rule on the access application. So the arguments went back and forth for 5 hours. It was adjourned, and he said he was going to come back with a decision on whether we allowed to attend the hearing with the civic organizations. It took, he put the date for the 1st of September. It took another 13 days for him to come back with a decision, and we heard the ruling yesterday. It was filed yesterday, and what his ruling said, that the civic organizations are not allowed to be there, and they have granted the Radio Life and Style 88FM permission to attend the hearing. And there were obviously some speculations. We aren't allowed to publish the names of the witnesses, which is understandable. We aren't allowed to bring in possession any audio recordings or instruments capable of recording sound or capable of taking pictures or photographs during this proceeding, which is also understandable. I've been to court cases where those restrictions have been upheld. And there was, they said the evidence which is led by the respondent, which is KDM, we are allowed to attend the proceedings and make written notes. So, obviously.
Okay, so in a nutshell, it would appear, and I'm just saying from the man in the street's perspective, it would appear that a civil servant has been caught doing something wrong. But that might not be the case. And I think, Warwick, if you could come in here and maybe give us a little bit of perspective as to why there is so much interest here. Is Rajkumar, in your opinion, well, historically, I've always imagined that the CFO of Guadaguza has been doing a good job because we've got some pretty good audits, and the results have indicated that there's financial management, responsible financial management. And I would have thought that he was a good guy. Suddenly, the evidence that is being led by Guadaguza is that possibly he is not. And therein lies the rub, because I think that's where the public has a right to know what lies behind this rather drastic move to attempt to remove the chief financial officer. Why? What is your take?
What has post-apartheid government in South Africa been synonymous with, if you had to pick one word?
If I had to pick one word, well, shall we call it a lack of jurisprudence, financial management, a lack of accountability, all of these things.
It's all of those things word, which ultimately result in corruption, right?
You can't sum it up in one word.
So
if one could, it would be easy.
So they, if you have a lack of the rule of law, if you have a lack of jurisprudence, as you pointed out, if you have a lack of capacity and competence, you end up with corruption. And do you want your litmus test for whether or not Mr. Rajkumar has been doing a good job? Are they trying to remove him? That's it. So if you ask me, is he a diligent public servant who is clean and who has done nothing wrong? I can't answer that question. That's one of the reasons why we want access to this very important inquiry, so that we can find out for ourselves, because this involves allegations of wastage of public funds. And I want to emphasize this point. Mr. Rajkumar has been charged, apparently. I've never seen the charge sheet. We don't have access yet, so we haven't been able to see it. But he has been charged allegedly with wasting public funds in some form or another. But he's not the only person, right? Because the council has allegedly spent 2 million rand so far in this process. That's also wasteful, in my opinion.
So what you're referring to is the fact that he's been accused of incurring costs of 60,000 rand bank charges by running two bank accounts, and there's a reason for that. But in the process of trying to discipline that action, the rest of the team has managed to rack up a bill of 2 million rand in legal fees. When you balance one against the other, where lies the more wasteful and fruitless expenditure?
Well, this is what we want to get visibility of. This is why we want access, because we want to find out WTF, because this is really, really important to us as this municipality. He is the gatekeeper. He is the gatekeeper of our funds, and we are one.
And he
of
appears
the,
to have been doing a really good job.
He certainly does. He seems to be the person who has defended and protected the municipality's fiscal status, and we have a surplus when most local governments around the country are in a serious deficit position. Okay, and that surplus is now at risk. So that's a really big concern for us. Let's just talk for a second about these bank accounts. I know it's not the most riveting thing in the world, but this municipality was created by pulling three municipalities together in the 2000s. And when they were pulled together, there were multiple bank accounts. During that process, there was a consolidation, because when the Municipal Finance Management Act came out, it said you must have one primary bank account. So there was a consolidation. And as a result of closing bank accounts down, there was untold pain trying to get people to pay their bills into the right account. Untold pain to the tune of millions and millions of rands of lost cash flow or delayed cash flow because of the closure of these bank accounts. Now, for various reasons, the municipality had to change their bank account. And it's actually quite idiotic, but they had to change their bank account. FNB was the previous bank account. Absa won the tender. They had to change to Absa. But if they shut the bank account down prematurely, the sheer volume in millions and millions, tens of millions of rands a month of money going into the old FNB account would have been lost to the immediate cash flow, and it would have created a huge amount of work to get people who are not paying attention and not listening to the many messages and whatever to pay into the correct accounts. So for that reason, the municipality, and it's not illegal for the municipality to have multiple bank accounts, right? But they do have to have a primary bank account. And for that reason, for I think about a decade, the municipality has maintained multiple accounts. Mr. Rajkumar is not the only person who's aware of that. Everyone is. Everyone who has an involvement in any aspect of the financial management of and accountability of the organization is aware of that. It's no secret. So the fact that this stuff's being dredged up now in order to try and pin it on him is a major curiosity to us.
Yeah, there seems to be a timing issue, particularly in light of the fact that there's been a sum of around 1.2 billion rand that has flowed into the coffers of late, as central government has allocated funds to local government to repair the damage that was incurred during the floods and the drama and the tempests of latter days. So now that is the prize, it would appear. And Rajkumar possibly is the, as you put it quite wise, the watchdog, the guardian, the custodian of the public purse. If you get rid of him, 1.2 billion rand is available for the taking. This is what it would appear to be the case, and that's why there is so much interest in what has been happening. I believe also there has been allegations of a certain amount of, shall we say, subtle coercion or possibly even bribery to get people to vote in a certain direction. Now, yeah. I don't have that information, but Penny, you seem to have found some interesting evidence leading in that direction. Let's not even go there for now. Let's just leave that one hanging.
Yeah. So the red flag was obviously the 1 point. It was two. You know, it's been cited two, and then it changes to 4 billion. Okay. So we obviously Treasury has released the funds to Kwadukuza's bank account for the flood relief scenario. That's when it all started. Then there was a WhatsApp voice recording that was circulated, which accused certain senior KDM officials from offering brown envelopes to the EFF councillors so they could vote in in
now
support
that saga
of the application.
Was brought into the public domain by the local newspaper in a sort of a KDM defending themselves against
that accusation.
Yes,
they came out vehemently and they said it was a campaign to bring down the ANC and was a smear campaign against the policies that they've basically completely rubbished it and have denied it. EFF also released a statement saying that it was, it was a misstatement and denied
but
the allegations.
There may be evidence to suggest that that's not the case. Am
so
I right?
So this is all unraveled. And then that week, after on Wednesday when we went to the hearing, it was adjourned. That Thursday, the ANC Youth League led a big march in Stanger. And it was a big march. There were at least 300 to 500. It got big. People that were carrying placards, they were asking for the MM and the mayor to step down pending an investigation. They had a memorandum. They sent it, they read it out at the town hall, the Stanger town hall, where the council meeting was taking place. That was stopped. And the mayor came out and they gave it to the chief whip of the council, and there were certain points that they have requested a forensic investigation into various allegations. Now, what started this? There was a whistleblower. A whistleblower put together a document. It was a detailed document, at least 22 pages, which a few of the media houses have reported on. I know IOR also reported it. Our local media did as well, and he accused various senior officials tender rigging. Okay. Money laundering is serious.
So it would appear that there is a lot of smoke, and possibly there is fire causing that smoke. But we, our main focus of this discussion is tomorrow's hearing.
Yes.
Because if at tomorrow's hearing, which we are, through your good grace, going to be attending, so that there will be a very fair reportage of what goes down, we will discover tomorrow whether or not, being tested by very senior legal minds, there is any evidence to suggest that Mr. Rajkumar has committed any wrongdoing.
Yeah.
If he hasn't, he comes back into his former position, or his present position, because he's suspended on full pay at the moment. He hasn't been suspended. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And that augurs well for the continuing good fiscal policy that he's been following so far. If he is suspended, what then, Warwick?
Well, I think there's a question about whether or not your hearing will continue tomorrow. So we have to see. But if Mr. Rajkumar is suspended, then there's some meat to those allegations, I presume, unless because remember that the chairperson of this hearing is a senior counsel. This is a member of the bar.
Independent.
Right. But he is a member of the bar. So there are standards that he has to comply with, and he's supposed to act independently. So if he is suspended, one would have to hope and assume that he's suspended on the basis of something that is indeed serious enough.
Having tested the evidence and found been found guilty.
To warrant that.
Right.
You know, the charges are gross misconduct. That's what they're going to be looking at. So,
which under the circumstances is probably going to be quite difficult to prove, but generally speaking, unless there are witnesses to this, there could be a miscarriage of justice. And I think it's very important that the ruling that's gone in our favor to be able to attend the meeting tomorrow, and you'll be there.
Yes, that's where we've asked. We wanted transparency.
That augurs well for transparency and for justice to be served. And we will watch this very, very carefully. Warwick, you make a good point. You know, if that goes awry, well, then it would indicate that there are serious issues that we need to press further to uncover. And hopefully, at the end of the exercise, we will be able to present the kind of information that the public has the right to know.
Absolutely.
And examine, and to then question, because ultimately we're talking about, and let's never forget this, we're talking about public service here, folks. We are the public.
Absolutely.
They are the service, and ultimately we are entitled to that information and to be served.
And it's our money.
You
know, Mr. Rajkumar deals with a budget of 3.3 billion rand, you know, and 85% of the 3.3 billion rand is ratepayer money. So this is a public interest story, and it is so crucial right now where this story is going to be unpacking, because the financial reports that were presented at council last month, the reserves that were up 3 months have gone down to 1.4 months. And now I've heard via allegations
that 1.6 months worth of financial reserve, which is millions of rand,
over 100 million,
disappeared.
Well, we don't know why, but Mr. Rajkumar had built up a 3 month reserve in the municipality, and the report states that it's dwindled down now to 1.4 last month, and now possibly under a month. So we don't know. We have to now just wait for that. You know, what the repercussions mean, it could be a collapse of a municipality. You know, the scale, the devastation of this is huge, and that is why we as ratepayers and the media have to be so vigilant to make sure that there is a transparent and there's no hidden political interference in this. And what is going on will be reported, you know, to the best of our ability, as objectively as possible.
And there it is. A huge thank you to you for being vigilant, both of you, for caring enough to come forward and to become the public voice, if you like, of the ratepayers and residents of the area. More strength to you. We will watch very closely, and I'm sure that you'll be in very shortly after the hearing tomorrow with a follow-up. Warwick, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Dave.
Penny, thank you. As I say, we will watch this space, and more strength to both of you.
Thanks, Dave.
The afternoon show continues on the other side.